Sports with Steve Bick. Enough. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Back hour three, about now 15 minutes in, and happy to welcome Gloria Haley in from San Francisco. And as I've been essentially beating the drum all morning about the three trainers over the weekend who got their first graded stake wins, two veteran horsemen in Michael Catalano and Gloria, and a relative newcomer, although 10 plus years in the making, for Reeve McGahee. Gloria joins us now, and she sent out Freeport Joe at 10-1 in the Berkeley on Saturday. And Gloria, we're not going to say how long you've been training. How about that? Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
What a wonderful win! Talk about I don't want to say elusive. You take your spots where they they're apparent, but it's got to feel pretty special.
Yeah, he's a pretty special horse.
Let's talk about him, then we'll swing back to your career. And this is a four-year-old by English Channel, and certainly English Channel's been in the news with his passing a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that his horses just keep getting better with age, and it feels like this is that kind of an English Channel son.
Absolutely. Being a son of Smart Strike, they certainly bear that same characteristic.
And this one, Gloria, we should note, is out of a Sadler's Wells mare. So yes. Distance and maturity, he's got plenty of upside yet.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's run on the grass a few times. He seemed to have an affinity to it, but not quite like he likes the synthetic.
Well, we talked earlier today. We started the morning with Bob Tiller talking about Pink Lloyd, who may be the best synthetic sprinter ever. You've got the advantage there in Golden Gate of, basically year-round opportunity. This horse was a very modest purchase, and even the beginning of his career, you dangled him for $16,000, but then stretched him out, and he breaks his maiden in special company.
Exactly. We were just trying to get his confidence up. He was sort of an immature horse, and by running him in a little easier spot, we thought that it would bolster his confidence.
He's been thriving on the work too, Gloria. It took him until basically January this year as a four-year-old to make the races.
Well, we had quite a COVID shutdown here.
That's right. That's true.
In the end of last year and the beginning of this year. So our spots were sort of mitigated by that situation.
Has he benefited from that, actually? When would he have been ready to run last year normally?
We have a rule in California that you cannot run as a four-year-old unless you have a registered work with a blood test. We were actually ready at the end of December, but because of the date situation, we weren't able to start him. And then we ran into the COVID shutdown there a little later. So it was pretty close to the time that he was supposed to start.
Wow. Well, in the meantime, this was his 12th start of the year. I mean, he's been basically trotting out every 3 to 4 weeks. It seems like he's thriving on the work.
Yeah. He's a huge striding horse, and he really, really loves it. Aso the rider is quite a special man also. He just loves this horse, and the horse loves him. They have quite a bond.
Well, and Asa got aboard in August in a starter allowance, a restricted starter allowance, and now has got three wins, a second and a third, the two of them together. You basically have kept him in very solid allowance company, and talk about the decision to run him in this spot. He was going to be, you know, he was going to be a price of some kind. He was 20-1 on the morning line, and then, you know, he took a little bit of money and ended up as what, the sixth choice.
Yeah. Well, the thing I discussed with Asa is, can you make this weight? Because you got in with 17. And so Asa and I were talking the day of Thanksgiving. I said, okay, Asa, turkey only, right? And he goes, yes, protein. We were all on the same page. And his agent's a great guy, Farmer Tom Dietrich. And we were all together, the owners, the team, my grooms. Everybody did a phenomenal job with this horse.
What a great story. The owner, Larry Odebert, tell us about him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He owns quite a few horses, breeds quite a few horses. I'm one of the trainers that he employs. And he was very, very patient with his horse. Every time I told him, I said, Larry, we need a little more time. He'd say, okay, whatever you say. And then he has another friend, Joe Blake, who the horse is named after, that is very, very much a participant in all of our decisions also.
Well, $2,000 in the Northern Cal yearling sale, the Cal breeder sale, and the patience clearly, has been involved here to, you know, to wait and
well, the thing that was funny about that was he actually bid himself. He could have gotten him for $1,000. He bid himself up to $2,000. quite a story the owners tell.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, wasn't them bidding against each other? Did he lose track of where the bidding was?
Well, you know how smart auctioneers are.
That's great. Well, he's and this is a, you know, this is an English Channel that is a cowbred too. So you've
he's
got
a cowbred, and that's what makes it so special. So.
Well, you've got there's all kinds of opportunities that'll be coming his way.
He's got a good upside. He's got a good upside.
Unbelievable. And you know, let me go back and check the fig. He 90 buyer too, Gloria, if you hadn't seen.
I haven't seen him yet. That's awesome, huh?
Great.
Yeah. Aso said it's the time before last. Actually, Aso was injured last Sunday when he was supposed to work, and one of my other, the leading rider here, Pedro, went ahead and worked the horse for us because Aisle had to go to the hospital. So it's always taking a deep breath when you're at the racetrack. But the time before that, Aisle worked the horse and he couldn't pull him up. After his gallop out, he could barely get him pulled up by the 3/8 pole. And he just said, man, we're ready. I'm telling you, this horse is getting better and better. And I said, well, he's acting like it. So that's when we decided, let's go ahead and keep him on the synthetic and go for the gusto.
Unbelievable. And there's no reason, Gloria, that, I mean, he'll keep stretching out, too, if you want to keep going, right?
The longer he goes, the better he likes it, seems to us.
Well, I'm excited as can be for you. Let's talk about your background and your career. I reached out, Rick Hammerly was going to be with us, and knowing Rick's origins at Northern Cal, I said, what do you know about Gloria Haley? They said, oh, she's the nicest lady and been around, for a number of years. And you've been winning for a long time. Talk about your origins on the racetrack, Gloria.
Well, originally I was a high school teacher and a coach. And I truly enjoy sports and horses, so I decided to combine the two. And this is what I've chosen as my career.
You're from Northern California originally?
Oh, yeah. I was born in Santa Rosa and still live only about 50 miles from there. So it's my hometown, and I love Northern California. And we're very fortunate that we had Michael Dickinson and his wife Joan put in the synthetic track here. The Tapeta, I believe, is the best surface in the world. And we were very fortunate that Golden Gate chose this surface to put on their track.
Well,
we have
we'll
great
see
management and a great, great situation here. Danny Etzen, who worked for Hammersley, was here for quite a while as racing secretary. He's a wonderful man, too.
Without a doubt. And, you know, your season, I mean, you right now it's one of the best years you've had. You know, yeah. your horsemanship, I mean, talk about, where you started getting familiar and how you've...
I started at Santa Rosa. We have a track up there at the fairgrounds.
Sure.
We have a fair every year, and there were a lot of old-time trainers there, and that's who I learned from. So it all started in Santa Rosa. Used to ride my bike down to the track when I was real young, and that's where it all started from.
Well, that's true. I love it. That's awesome. In terms of getting horses like this and acquiring stock. I mean, talk about that, because the last few years, I mean, you've started to the last 10, 15 years, you started to add some head. How big are you? Are you as big as you want to be? Would you add clients?
Yeah,
or
I don't want to be a big stable. We're kind of a smaller operation. You just kind of trade dollars when you get too big. I think we are pretty much a hands-on situation. I have real good men that work for me at the barn and women, and we have kind of like a little type of a family operation. So it's we're real fortunate. And I just figure every single athlete we have, as long as they do the best they can, that's all you can ask of them. And I have to give them that opportunity. Take the best care of them we can and give them the best shot they can have.
How many horses?
Well, right, we range between usually 10 to 14. Right now we're just at 10.
And in terms of stock acquisition, this obviously was a yearling, but how many are some of them your own? Or
I have a few of my own. I also breed in California. I'm on the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association board.
Nice.
As well as the California Thoroughbred Trainers board, and just trying to do whatever we can to keep the game alive and keep people interested in our sport.
Well, that's all, that's everybody's, that's all of our responsibility. To win a race like the Berkeley, and clearly to have a horse like this that, has got tons of tons of upside yet. These English Channels, they're going to be better as 5 and even 6 year olds. So blue skies ahead for Freeport, Joe.
Yeah, we have to take one day at a time. You know how it is, Steve. But that's what our goal was, and that's what I explained to the owners. I like to have our horses around for a long time. I like them to go out on an up note and always stay in one piece. So that's our goal, so that they can go on and have a better life afterwards, do their job as an athlete now, and then they can do their job as an athlete later.
Well, just looking at frankly at your numbers, you're hitting the board 50% essentially with everything that goes out. I mean, it seems like all your runners seem to go out live.
Well, they all try. That's what we hope for. Once in a while, I'm a little ambitious in my spot, but but I guess a lot of us can do that. So,
Gloria Haley, I'm delighted for you to get a win like this. What kind of a trophy? I didn't see the presentation. What kind of a trophy did they give you?
I believe it was a glass. We gave it to the owners. So it's going to be an engraved, I believe it was a glass trophy. So it's very nice. You know, the people at Golden Gate Fields are wonderful. So the Strongest Group has been very supportive and trying to make everything work and trying to keep all of our horse population healthy.
We're looking forward. I saw Dave Duggan said, let everybody know. Got a pick 5 carryover Friday at Golden Gate. So
he's the best, Mr. Duggan. He's the best.
He took the occasion when I reached out to him, said, "Can you send me Gloria's number?" And he said, "You bet, but mention our pick five carryover." So no problem. So thanks to you, they got a nice advertising, a little advertising push.
Well, they deserve it, so that's great.
Gloria, you deserve it. The years of success and a first graded stake win, the Berkeley Freeport Joe, and first of many more. Best wishes for the holidays and for the coming year.
Thank you, Stephen. Be safe and healthy.
I appreciate it. Gloria Haley and Freeport Joe, the latest English Channel stake winner and latest English Channel graded stake winner. And boy, this horse has had a terrific year. 12 starts on the year, just adjusted to the schedule from last year, and started the year with a 44 buyer, 57, 69, 70, 75, 73, then kind of idled a little bit on the turf, and then moved forward again, 81 in an allowance, and then 78, and then in the graded stake win on Saturday, a 90 buyer. So the typical English Channel, just getting better and better. What a fun story. There we go. Ron Anderson is going to be next, and there's a story that just Jay Pribman just let out, and having missed last week, we were going to have Ron talk about the decision that he was sort of foreshadowing, this same topic in terms of rider and where they were going to spend the winter season. And at that point, it was Joel Rosario and the speculation about him potentially, you know, where he was going to winter. And now the story emerging this morning is what John Velasquez is doing for the winter. He's going to be at Santa Anita and certainly made enough trips out west that I suppose it's shouldn't be necessarily a surprise, but it's still pretty interesting that Johnny is going to be out west. Jay Pribman writing the story up now, seemingly, and I wanted to get Ron, Casey. All right, try him a couple of times, Case. And Ron is some character. A couple of news and notes that piled up. Obviously, no shortage while we were gone last week. And let me get a couple of them in while we try to raise Ron. And when we talked to Sid on Wednesday, you might have seen the Gunrunner set a new earnings record for a first crop sire on Sunday. $3.8 million, and he eclipsed that's with a month to go. It's been a pretty heady year for Gunrunner, so we'll let Sid talk about it. I've also got the future wager to run by you, and the first pool, as well as the sire wager, where Gunrunner was well received there as well. And first, though, Ron Anderson is going to join us, and I had thought that Ron might join us last Monday, but then I ended up having to take the week off. So here he is this Monday instead, and he's got more breaking news that John Velasquez is going to winter in California. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It sounds like, almost sounds like you're second guessing our decision to do that.
No, not at all. It's sort of something that I think will take people slightly by surprise, although you were out there regularly. I mean, he was out there on a going basis, really, with all kinds of mounts over the course of the year. Talk about how this came about.
Well, it's kind of generated by trying to do something different for the winter. As we all know, Florida's Florida. You got the weather. Bob Baffert kind of, you know, started this conversation a while ago when I kind of pitched him. They thought that would be good. So we're just going to try this. He's obviously going to be, you know, I was just looking at it a while ago, the Pegasus in January. He'll be at Saudi Cup in February. You know, so he'll ship out of there to, you know, Oakland as he needs, to Florida as he needs. And it's basically 3 months. It's obviously December 26th through the first week in April, which Keeneland starts. So that's kind of what we're looking at. I mean, obviously, we could go just about anywhere, and he's going to have business. So we're just changing it up a little bit. I think Leona's, his wife, is quite excited about it. He's excited about it. You know, change is good, especially sometimes in this game. So he'll go there, and Joel will do the same thing out of Oakland Park. He'll be to Santa Anita and the Gulfstream as needed, and he'll be Pegasus, and he'll be Saudi Cup too, I believe.
Well, and of course, it was last Monday that the word circulated about Joel and the decision to work out of, you know, to work basically out of Hot Springs. And, you know, that the scheduling, Oakland adding this, you know, this December and early January to their calendar, it and the purse level, I suppose, it just, yeah, pretty irresistible. I mean, talk about how the mechanics of that work for you, Ron. I mean, in terms of keeping track of what trainers are going to be where, what horses you've already established a connection to, and you know, and that portion of the decision making.
Well, Joel's decision was not super difficult for us because he's done exceptionally well at Oakland Park. In fact, not last year, but the year before, he was in and out of there quite a bit. I think he rode like 50-some horses. He ended up winning, his win percentage is like 38%. Obviously, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic for Brad Cox on Nick's Go and winning the Juvenile Filly for Steve Asmussen, which are both huge entities there every year. That, you know, that kind of entered into just, you know, the logistics of it all. You know, like I said, trying something different, and the purse structure there obviously is, I mean, it's astronomical, actually. So the fact that we can go there under these circumstances, I made it a pretty fairly easy decision.
The lack of a turf course, how does that affect?
Well, you know, it's guys are just bringing dirt horses in there. Guys that have turf horses are easy. You know, it's a pretty easy format. If you have a turf horse, you're going to go to going to stay at Turfway Park. The purses there are getting crazy big too. Or you're going to go to Florida and run on the poly if they're cheaper, and run on the turf course if they're better. Or you could go to Tampa, which of the all the winter spots, those are the smallest purses of all, of which I think that's probably as good a turf course as there is anywhere. The fairgrounds is the fairground. So, not having a turf course really didn't enter into any decision making. It, you know, guys take dirt horses there because there's only dirt. So you have kind of a, I don't know, built-in built-in audience, built-in bunch. So, and you know, Steve, it's only 3 months, and at the end of the day, you know, you're just, you get through the first 3 months to get to back to New York and Keeneland, obviously, the Belmont, Saratoga, Belmont, you got Kentucky Downs, which is, you know, it's a huge situation for Joel, doing almost just a tiny bit less than $3 million in 6 days there, set a crazy record. That record of 18 wins and his record of 38 at Keeneland, spring of, I think, of 2014, maybe. I'm not sure anybody will be getting close to those records in the near future. Those are crazy big numbers, I think. So we just we roll on here.
Well, speaking of rolling, I mean, you look at the year he's had, Joel, we're talking about now, we'll come back to Johnny, but he's approaching 33 million. And where are we on the record, on the stakes record front?
We're six away from stakes, and seven from stakes and six from graded stakes. We're going to have a chance at all. I think the money is pretty much that's going to be easiest to attain, and I think we're okay that with that. I think we're $1.2 million away now, and we have this big weekend in New York planned, and then a Remington Park on the 17th, a Gulfstream Park on the 18th, of which there's five stakes, so that's 10 more. And then the first 3 days, he'll be at Santa Anita, 26, 27, 31. That's the first 3 days, and I think I want to say there's nine stakes in those days. So we'll have some sort of chance at all three of them, all three records. So we'll see how that all goes.
Well, we've been saying this now for months, and I know you listen, so you know we have said that it just feels like there's. It would be at this point a shock and a travesty if he's not going to win that first Eclipse Award.
Well, you know, nothing's assumed in this business or in life. You know, I've been surprised before about the voting on some of this stuff, but I got to think this is pretty. A pretty close case, I would think. But part of my problem, Stephen, I'm not knocking anybody, but a lot of the Eclipse Awards people are not paying attention to Steve Bick's show. They're not watching racing from day to day. They're in some obscure place. And for some reason, from when they first set this up, they give people a vote. And who knows what people think? I don't know. We are in tune. Your listeners and myself and the people that I respect and work with, you know, we're in tune every day with everything that goes on. What jock won three or four, which guys won a stake, or which trainers did this or did that. There's a lot of people who vote for the Eclipse Award that honestly don't think are keeping up. So it's not a knock. It's just an observation of myself over the years. I mean, I've had, I want to say, nine Eclipse Award years now. I think Jerry Bailey was asking the other day. And those nine, you know, I appreciate all that. But there were at least a couple, three other years that were just really, I mean, including last year a little bit with Joel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think Andy has, you know, repeatedly said that he thought Joel should have maybe gotten an Eclipse last year. So you never really know, but he's well over 3 million, I think, ahead of Irad. Irad's ridden 300-some more horses than he has. So I got to think we're in a good spot this year. And we're hoping.
Well, you're touching on an area that I, you know, particularly for the human awards. I mean, the horse results are one element. The human, there's times where you have to look beyond the dollars and cents. The jock numbers, you can look at earnings, obviously, and you start looking at stakes wins. Jay Privman's got a system that he works from and discusses every year with us, where he, you know, looks at the horses that he voted for in terms of the champion categories, and then looks for commonalities, whether it's owner, trainer, jock. And, you know, if you go up and down that list, then you see, you know, three category winners. Obviously Nick's Go for Joel and Jackie's Warrior, to me is still the sprint champ, over the course of the season. Other category, what other category winners do you expect? Trying to think of who else comes to mind.
Well, the two-year-old filly that we, you know, Steve.
Yeah, that's right.
Zulu.
Echo Zulu. Sure. That's right. Forgot about her.
I'm not sure who else.
If that's three champions, that's going to be a very strong right off the top. That's a strong recommendation.
Right. Yeah, I would think so. Right.
Yeah, without a doubt. In fact, here we go. I just pulled it up to look and let's see who else. Holy cow! Wow, you got to scroll a long way down, Ron, going through his. You know what's interesting is how many different, not just the stake wins total. I mean, a lot of times somebody, you know, there'll be a handful of horses that have won multiple stakes. He's won on a crazy number of stake winners.
Well, a crazy number and a crazy number of places, and you know, I think Marty tweeted out the other day he'd won on 17 or 19 different tracks this year. So he's obviously logged some frequent flyer miles, of which Nancy's and Walter, you know, Stretch are going to look this up at some point and try and log exactly how many miles he's been in an airplane. So that'll be interesting, too. But you know, he's easy. He doesn't second guess, you know, where I send him or why I send him, and he pops in places. And as you know, he's the nicest kid. He gets on with everybody. So, like I said many, many times to a lot of people before, he makes my job easy. So we're up in Garrett Gomez and Jerry Bailey territory, of which I told somebody the other day, you know, this is a big deal. This is something that, you know, years from now he'll look back on and you know, he idolized Garrett Gomez. He thought Garrett walked on water. He was in California through Golden Gate. He came to Southern California, and he thought Garrett was just, well, he was something very special, special on a horse's back. And he was another very nice person.
No doubt. And I didn't know that he looked up to Go-Go. Nice. Well, this will be tough to. It's going to be tough to deny him this time around. I voted for him last year myself. So, well, sometimes it It's not unusual. And that's been true with the jock category, that there's a year or two lag before before the jock gets a breakthrough, you know, for, you know, whatever reason that, you know, that that has been the case. For Johnny, it's a much different scenario. And, you know, I'm just looking. I mean, the year that he's had, Ron, is really on a par with any of his best years the last 15 years.
Well, we're not, you know, we're not riding as many cheaper
That's right.
horses. He's riding a lot of the stakes. I think he's eighth in the country. Maybe 16, 15 and change or 16 million. So, yeah, he's, you know, Johnny's Johnny. He's another complete professional. He's respected by all. You know, the things that kind of go unnoticed is participation and his love for his fellow riders. The situation with his president of the guild and monitoring all that, I mean, you can't even imagine.
That's a good point.
The number of hours in a month that yep. he spends just on Zoom calls and meetings and listening to riders with you know, this, that, or the other going on. And it's a whole separate job, and it takes an amazing just an amazing person to be able to deal with all that. But he does. And like I said, he is highly, highly respected from the management side of the racing and racetracks to, you know, to the riders and everybody else. Johnny is he's an amazing, amazing person.
Well, and the association, the move to you that you know, has kind of been an interesting, I don't want to call it a coda to his career, but it certainly has been. I think I've used the word, you know, kind of invigorating. It seems to him, and it's put him into some new barns. That you know, it's paid off, and just looking at the weekend, actually had that maiden winner yesterday to start the Del Mar Pick Six, that Newgrange for Baffert yesterday, and the gigantic ownership group behind that colt.
Yeah, looking at the race. I didn't do the work on the race yet, but it looks like a horse with obviously a pretty bright future. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, and I had looked earlier this morning, and the figs had not, they weren't up, but I did see that the stake number did come back for the Pampa bred, for Regal Glory. She had a 102. Now the number is up. That was an 80 buyer for Newgrange.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
solid.
It's only one race. I'm not sure exactly start. How fast or slow that is, but for me, it doesn't matter what they run. It's how they progress forward, and mm-hmm. obviously he's in good hands and got pedigree, and so they will march on.
Well, an exciting development, and the opportunity to look at Santa Anita and see Johnny on a daily basis for that starting on the 26th, and Joelle at Oaklawn. I'm going to do something that's a little unconventional. Ask about a rider that you don't handle. Are you as impressed as everybody else with what Kent DeSormo has? Fashioned.
Look, I've had in the last, I don't know, 3 months, I've had more than a handful of people, including a couple high-profile trainers, mention to me what about Kent DeSormo? Look, Kent DeSormo, as Billy Mott in a conversation here a few weeks back said, he is an absolute natural. There's nobody that can ride horses any better than him. Now, he's obviously had some personal problems for quite a long time, of which he's dealt with. And I take my hat off to him because he's doing things that, you know, I think he's 50. He might even be a year or two older than that. He's magical. I mean, the last few days in Delmar, I mean, you watch him ride. He's doing it again, big time. So, anybody that has the problems that he have had, I commend them for addressing them and overcoming them. Obviously, between Garrett and Chris Antley, they obviously had demons and things that didn't work out for them. But I take my hat off to Kent DeSormo. He's brilliant again, and I just hope for his own sake that he keeps it up, and that he's in a good space or a good place. Yep. And I love that.
Now the two rides that between Say the Word coming from off the pace and then metting out the fractions in the Derby with Beyond Brilliant, it really displays, you know, his horsemanship. He's thought of, I wrote this on my board, Derby Trail, about how, you know, he's thought of as somebody that's at his best with a closer, but like so many jocks that have a good, you know, that have a good sense of timing, you put them on speed horses and they're devastating. And DeSormo has been a great front end rider his whole career.
He can, I don't want to hear all that. He can do anything. The elite riders, they can, you know, they can adjust to a horse. Whatever they need to do, they can do it. So I don't want to hear anybody tell me that Kent is better on a horse that needs to be taken back or a horse that you know, that closes, because that's not the case. He can let one go 21 if he needs to, or he can be out the back like he was in the Turf Cup the other day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Now, it was a terrific end to the talked much yet, and I still have to reach out for John Sheriffs and Leonard Powell, who won with Neige Blanche as well, the upset, going back to, I think that was Thanksgiving Day. Kind of lost track here a little bit, but the baby races too. Chad with a couple of winners yesterday with Regal Glory and Verbal, but that's one of my favorite last, you know, few days of a meet, this Hollywood Turf Festival. It's always engaging.
Yes, it's not quite as high profile as it used to be, but it's still very exciting. And I'll give you a lead that some of you might reach out to. My friend Lee Searing owns that horse. I don't know if you've interviewed him before, but he's a fascinating guy. I've known him since I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's invested lots and lots of money in the game, and this is one of his signature moments. And I think maybe I'll send you his number. Maybe you can reach out to Lee.
That'd be great. CRK Stable, right? That's
yes, yes.
Yeah. I'd love to have Lee Searing on.
I would reach out to him because he's a great guy. And like I said, I've known him since, I don't know, I think I was 16.
That's crazy.
We used to stand down on the apron at Santa Anita, just out inside the eighth pole, Saturday and Sunday. You know, I was friendly with his father and his mother, and actually his mother ended up with one of my old high school football coaches after in later years. So Lee Searing, you'll be fascinated by him.
Outstanding. Ron, this was tremendous, and that's a great way to wrap up. Ron Anderson, everybody. Johnny V at Santa Anita this winter, and Joelle tracking to an Eclipse Award. Thanks to Ron. Gloria Haley was with us from Golden Gate. Andy Simoff and Michael Catalano paid tribute to Tommy Creel. And Michael, of course, with his first-graded stake win. Meg was with us. Reeve McGahee's first-graded stake win as well. And Rob Tiller, Pink Lloyd, unbelievable. What a way to go out. Thanks to everybody. Glad to be back, and tomorrow plenty to do. More recapping, Brendan Walsh and more. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Kind of a limited slate. I think there's five or six opportunities out there, and we'll talk to you in the morning. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM, archive podcast, etc. at the website. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.